This is Ozarks at Large. Michael Heffernan has been creating poems for about 50 years. He's taught poetry at the University of Arkansas since 1986. His latest collection of poems is titled Walking Distance and is available now. Tomorrow night, he'll read from that collection as well as others as the featured speaking guest of the Ozark Poets and Writers Collective at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville. Last week, Michael Heffernan talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about his work, his childhood in Detroit, and how he was introduced to writing poetry. He says he had to write a poem after somebody in his high school class had, as a juvenile joke, left a jock strap on a teacher's desk.
That was the punishment. And I came home and told my mother, I can't do this. I'm not a poet. And I was awakened in the middle of the night. I fished out a piece of cardboard from the wastebasket and wrote this thing down in about 20 minutes and went back to sleep. And I don't know what became of that piece of cardboard or that poem, but it reminisced about a childhood experience up in Maine, where my dad every August would pack us into the car and drive us to the coast of Maine. It took us 2 full days in those days, and it was a location that my mother knew about and was very fond of, and so she kind of directed us there on her initiative. And my dad and I would stand on this rock overlooking the wild Atlantic Ocean. There was a tidal pool behind us, and we would fish for pollock, which were thought of as not decent fish at that time. They are now served, you know, in parts of whatever frozen fish you can buy at the store, at least. And we would put those fish in that tidal pool, and once the tide came and swept them all back out into the ocean, we said, well, we'll catch them again tomorrow. and that's what my dad and I did. While my mother lay up on this big rock and sunned herself, and my sister went off and played by herself.
Well, it's funny that you bring up memories of this childhood, because one of my favorite poems in Walking Distance includes discussion of walking on stilts.
Yep.
And this was under encouragement of your father, right?
Exactly. And he made the stilts for us, my sister and me.
And you would go walking through town on your stilts. There was a summer where you would just get better and better at stilt walking.
We did. My recollection is of doing this all summer, and walking down our street, a full city block, on an inner city in an inner city neighborhood. You want me to just read it?
Would you please?
Okay, I'll do that right now.
Thank you.
A Face at the Pain. The summer my sister and I rode stilts around the block, week after week, is locked in the same corner Joe McCarthy keeps on the TV our father bought, the living room. He also built those stilts from 2x2s with blocks of 2x4 nailed in for the foot pieces, the height of our stoop's first step from the sidewalk. As many times that summer as we could, we showed up on the main street with its bars and haberdasheries and furniture stores, no matter how odd we looked to the shopkeepers watching us from their windows passing by. We had a job to do, and we're going to do it. We learned how to walk the length of Morrell Street around to Junction Avenue and Verner Highway and back to Morrell Street without falling off. We did this until late August came with its ponderous clouds, its intimations of routine, of careless time, and the beauty of freedom spoiled. The stilted knock of skyborne walkers stilled. We wouldn't have known what to think of all of that. Our father's death was 20-some years off. Our mother's nearly 20 further on. She was the doughtier of the two of them, designed for the long haul. Despite complaints, mostly about the legs and the hip joints, they keep a person stepping near the ground and eventually feet first into it after a while. This is the bitter pill that has got to be swallowed. It leaves its acrid stain on the mother tongue. When I look out that window, I savor those bees abuzz like teams of peasants at their happy toil. I sweat to quit my soul, its tick of due regard. expansive anguish spawns a riot of fond regret. When and if the roof falls in, I'll want a record of present conditions. It's good to know where things went. Torn from a decent sleep, I'll stumble out to find my walking stick leaning against what's left of the garden shed and the ancestral yew that poured its mighty grieving by the road, redoubling into oafish countryside.
I just love that poem, Michael. I just love that. There's so many things I love about it. I think the single best description of August I've ever read and now heard is just four words. It's intimations of routine. I love that about because August is you can feel no matter your age, whether you're a kid or an adult, you can feel that summer going away and things are going back to the way they'll be for a while.
That's right.
I imagine sometimes you read poems for people who don't read nearly as much poetry as a country. You don't read and talk about poetry nearly as much as we did at one point.
Well, yeah, in the middle of the 19th century.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you hear from people that read your poems, right?
You
get emails, and
I got an email from somebody who had read this poem in a book that was published just a few years ago. I went to the University of Detroit, the secular university, Wayne State University, where my mother had gone for a teacher's degree in the late 20s. When I was growing up, despite my mother having gone there and been perfectly uncontaminated, it was thought by people of Catholic background to be a place where you would run into ideas that were unacceptable. Atheists could be bred there. Now, I hope nobody is going to hear this up in Michigan because I don't feel that way about Wayne State. They did me a great turn when they invited me to offer them a manuscript just a very few years ago. And they did a gorgeous book, which is called At the Bureau of Divine Music. And toward the end of it, there's this poem. Awake. I lay down in my bed and went to sleep, but only after worrying that the pain that came up in my chest, seemingly deep inside where my heart was a plain signal that I might not survive the night and could be lying cold beside my wife when she got up, as she does with the light, to start another day in her own life while mine was over, unbeknown to us, including me. As I was worrying, I went to sleep and woke up in 4 hours to use the bathroom. Birds had begun to sing. Two dogs were barking. Nothing perilous had come to find us. What was ours was ours.
That's beautiful. That is a universal experience, right? Who among us who's over the age of five hasn't experienced that dread in bed?
Yeah.
And then to be, okay, reawakened, a few hours later, and the day has begun. But I'm guessing, I'm no poet, but I'm guessing getting something that's compact, that speaks to a universal experience and does it that well, is not an easy thing to do.
Well, what I was trying to think in relation to this is something having to do with the form of it, which is a sonnet, which you can teach yourself relatively easy. Access to and use it as a way of making poems rather quickly, I've discovered. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is one of the advantages of having forms like that in the English language that we've inherited from the European tradition. And I see that as a way of making something half-baked into something baked.
Right.
And with a half-baked idea to start with, having that as an instrument, you can work something up. And it doesn't take long. It really doesn't. I try to teach this to my students.
poems, you're describing them, and they're very personal. They're memories, they're feelings, but you're writing them knowing other people will read them.
I hope so.
Yes. So do you think you're writing the poems for you or for other people?
I'm doing a little bit of both, I think. I'm certain I am writing to other people who I certainly hope will read what I'm writing. And I think that way in terms of making sure that something is, as I said earlier, an interesting discovery, at least, that takes place in the course of that poem getting itself written, but without my knowing exactly where that's going to go myself. And I hope that is interesting to other people, that they find things there in their own imagination.
That's what I was going to ask. Someone might read something and take something completely differently away from it than what you were feeling. That's okay?
I try not to have an intention in the sense of something that I am trying to say to a given readership.
You must find words that you really like. Do you ever discover new words that...
Oh, they're out there. They will show up somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, interesting words. I think like most poets, I read the dictionary. I'm not comfortable with a thesaurus. I don't believe in a rhyming dictionary. I hope rhymes occur in interesting ways. As a poem is making itself, but contriving to find rhymes somehow or another out of a resource like a rhyming dictionary. I may have had one at one time many, many years ago, but I don't think that way.
Michael Heffernan will read tomorrow night at Nightbird Books as the month's guest of the Ozark Poets and Writers Collective. His latest collection of poems is titled Walking Distance and is available now. He teaches poetry at the University of Arkansas. He talked with Ozark's at-large's Kyle Kellums last week.